I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
You know, Rob Pugh's always sending me stuff, but I think this is my favorite thing that he sent me. I love my wife. I'm getting ready to get in my car and drive a long way today, and that way my wife will be with me. I'll be wearing that all the way. And I just, man, I feel bad for you out there. Those of you, any of you out there, don't have a good marriage. The Bible says it's better to live in an attic with a contentious woman. And Michelle can get contentious, but she gets contentious when she's loving on me and trying to provoke me to love and good works, which is Hebrews 10:24, I believe. And we have our little squabbles and our little, she can hold her ground. But I don't know where I'd be without her. Tell her that all the time. She's right now going and picking up my rental car for me. So I can get out of here. Oh, praise the Lord. Hey, listen, I'm going to start something new today. This is probably going to shock our old buddy, Robert Klaus, but I'm going to start doing this every morning. Robert, I got this book from Robert when he came to All Hands on Deck. Finders, keepers, finders of truth, keepers of faith. And it's a daily devotional. It's a daily devotional. It's not one of those feel good daily devotionals. This is one for men and women who want to stand up and fight. So here's today, September 12th. I'll have Robert, you come in here in a minute. I'm going to have you, when I get done here, tell people where they can get some of your books, because this is really good. I'm sorry that I can't, I don't know. If I hold it like that, can you guys see and read it? But that won't do me any good because I can't read it because it's backwards on my screen. So every one of these, daily devotional. Here's what Robert wrote today. Well, he didn't write it today. It's September 12th. Mordecai Ham said, there are a lot of Christians who are halfway fellows. They stand in the door, holding on to the church with one hand, while they play with the toys of the world with the other. They are in the doorway, and we can't bring sinners in. Robert says, church-attending religious folks can sometimes be a great hindrance to new Christians when it comes to advancing the kingdom of God. Often when sinners get truly saved and therefore become enemies of the devil, they fail to take seriously his schemes to kill, steal, and destroy them. They join an institutionalized church where the self is improved, ears are tickled, compromise is applauded, spiritual warfare is ignored, and religious rituals are followed. The more spiritual may get baptized, the more spiritual Christians, they may get baptized. They may run to the altar and direct traffic and serve cappuccino, but they remain unchanged for the most part. They seldom read their Bible or pray, are slack in evangelism and slow in pursuing holiness. It's all true, Robert. They go with the religious flow and are swept away in the deception flood. They stroll through life along with others who are unchanged, unrepentant, and unprepared to suffer persecution as called, and are untrained soldiers to preserve, and overcome as required. With all the evil in society, insanity in government, vain religion in church, dysfunction in the family, disease in the body, and lack of funds in the bank, no wonder the devil has been so successful in casting a spirit of sadness, depression, oppression, loneliness, and hopelessness upon his enemies, the devil's enemies. The best way to overcome is to practice the spiritual disciplines the devil hates the most. Pray fervently, witness boldly, walk holy, praise thankfully, and proclaim God's truth uncompromisingly, and be rich in good works. Robert Klaus, September 12th. That's his reading for today. There's the book. Robert, come on in here, man. How do people get this thing? This is really good.
Hi, Coach.
$15.99 says here. $15.99. Folks, I'm going to tell you, it's worth every penny of it. How do they get one, Robert?
They go on Amazon. They can click my name, and my book will come up. That one in Time to Stand. Now, I think it's $13.99 on Amazon.
Jared, can you figure out how to put that up there for Amazon? Because people are visual. They want to see how to do it. They want to be comfortable to be able to do it. So if folks wanted to order Robert's book, he said, go to Amazon. There it is. Finders, keepers, finders of the truth, keepers of the faith. There it is. I'm going to start reading this every morning. In fact, if I forget, somebody please punch me in the nose and say, hey, Coach, read what Robert wrote today. There you go, Robert. Bless you, man. Appreciate
Thank you,
it.
Coach.
Appreciate all you do. I got to get something off my chest. Listen, we got something going on with Larry Richardson that we need your help with. In the last 20 minutes of the show, we're going to be talking about that, except I'm going to hand it over to Larry. Folks, listen, it's very, very important that you stay and be part of this. I have to get in my car, make a getaway to Maine, where I'm heading for the next couple of days. And so I'm going to slip out at about 20 minutes till, but I'm going to turn it over to Larry. And I just please pray that you, once Rush Limbaugh leaves, that you, the guest host, Larry's got an amazing story that we need to help him with. So please stay with us. Hey, Jared, pull up the email just to get us off on the right stroke here. Change the light bulb. Pull up that change the light bulb email. This is so appropriate today. I love memes that you run into on Facebook. How many Christians does it take to change a light bulb? Well, if you're charismatic, only one. Hands already in the air. So if you're charismatic, you're changing a light bulb and you got the other hand in the air, right? If you're Pentecostal, it takes 10. One to change the bulb and 9 to pray against the spirit of darkness. If you're Presbyterians, it doesn't take any. Lights will go on and off at predestined times. If you're a Baptist, it takes at least 15 to change the bulb. 1 to change the light bulb, and 3 committees to approve the change and decide who brings the potato salad and fried chicken. If you're an Episcopalian, it takes 3 to change the light bulb. 1 to call the electrician, 1 to mix the drinks, and 1 to talk about how much better the old light bulb was. Now, if you're a Methodist, well, we don't know how many it takes. It's undetermined. Whether your light is bright, dull, or completely out, you are loved. You can be a light bulb, a turnip bulb, or a tulip bulb. Church-wide lighting service is planned for Sunday. Bring the bulb of your choice in a covered dish. this is too true. If you're a Mormon, it takes 6 people to change the light bulb. Oh, 5 wives to replace the bulb while the husband reviews church lighting policies. If you're a Lutheran, you don't need any people. Lutherans don't believe in change. And if you're Amish, what's a light bulb? This is why we can't get anything done, isn't it?
Hey, Coach.
I don't have something to be funny. They asked me a little bit of truth in the midst of it.
Missed the Catholics.
Oh, missing Catholic. I don't know what they said on Catholic.
They just use candles.
What's that?
They just use candles.
They just light candles. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble here, Joseph. You're going to get me in trouble. Oh, I got to get something else off my chest this morning. We're in the process of doing our 990 tax form for the ministry. We keep good records, and then we get the records to our tax guy who does the records for us. And I was thinking today, By the way, you can check our 990s. Our 990s are available online. You can always see where the money goes and all. You can always see all that stuff. 990. Just go and check. I suppose. It doesn't matter. Go there. But you know the information that we have to provide to the IRS. Can somebody help me out here? What business is the IRS, what the church does with their money? Can somebody help me out with that one? That one? Haven't they told us that there's a separation between the church and the state? Yet the information they want to know regarding donors, regarding how every nickel was spent. We have good records. Go check our 990s. Do you think any of you out there, even in your own personal life, if the IRS wanted to get you, you really think you'd be clean? And why do they? Folks, why does the government get the right to monitor how you spend your money? Did you know this, that when you sign, excuse me, when you sign your income tax return, when you file, you know that you waive your Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination? Why do we put up with this? Why do we permit obvious frauds like the Clinton Foundation to skate with billions and billions of dollars? You know that they've never even filed their forms to become a charity. Do you guys know that? And do you really realize? Do you really realize that the tax system, Christians, is nothing but bondage? They've convinced you that if you're a good American citizen, the churches will tell you this, by the way, if you're a good American citizen, you'll pay your taxes to an evil government, a government that rejects God, a government that kills babies, a government that destroys marriage, that if you Christian pastors will tell you, if you are a good Christian, you will support everything ungodly that the government wants. Not only that, you'll give them all your books, let them see everybody, every way you spent every dollar, and they have the right to come in and tell you whether or not the way you spent God's money is approved of by them. How long can a nation survive when we can continue to do this? And can we also tell you the truth? That people pay taxes out of fear. They pay taxes out of fear. That's the only reason. Out of fear. And what if there was no withholding tax? And every month or every week, you had to write a check to the IRS. What if every 2 weeks when you got your paycheck and you made, let's say you made $500 a week and you made $1,000, and so you take your entire $1,000 home with you, and then you get out your checkbook and you write IRS $270, state taxation 1943, local taxes 363, schools. And then we begin to realize exactly what they're doing to us. Do you know why so many kids are being indoctrinated in the public schools? Because mom had to leave the home to go to work. She had to go. Oh my goodness. It's bondage. It's bondage. And see, the church could overthrow the IRS. The IRS isn't even, by the way, I hope you know this, it's not a federal agency. It's not an agency of the federal government. So a non-governmental agency is determining and picking in your life, looking at the money you spend, how you spend the money, and telling you if that's okay. Now, here's what I know. Every dime that comes in to pass the SALT Ministries is the Lord's money. It is not the government's money. The government has no say over how past the SALT Ministries spend their money. But they say they do, and they'll drag you to court, and then everybody in town will say, yep, see, I told you. See, they're not following the law. I knew that. I knew there was something tricky going on there. And it's determined by the IRS, who wants to get as much of your money as they possibly can. I'm going to get off of it. I had to clear my conscience on it because it really ticks me off. Anybody have a comment on that? This is kind of a flea flicker Friday because tomorrow we have Dr. Patrick Johnson on to talk about the movie The Reliant. It's going to be really, really good. You don't want to miss that. Anybody got a comment on what I just said? Are you a good citizen because you pay your money to the evil government to kill babies with and destroy marriage and lie to your children and give it to free people coming across the border? Anybody got a better perspective on that one?
Coach, yeah. Chapter 13, very clearly it describes governing authorities that we are to submit to. Those are ones who protect and promote good and destroy evil. That's the governing authorities. Other authorities are not to be allowed or supported or recognized.
Romans 13, Jared, pull that up there real quick. Because Robert, we're going to read Romans 13. I'm going to let you explain there. I got a lot of stuff here, man. I got a lot of stuff. I'm going to let you explain, Robert. By the way, Robert's been to seminary. He's been to seminary. And I'm going to read this, Robert, and then I'm going to let you explain to people why it's going to make them mad. I'm just making myself a target. But I've always told you guys, I'll tell you the truth. I'll just tell you the truth. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Okay? For there is no power but of God. Who's the ultimate power then, folks? Who's the ultimate power? For the powers that are, that be, are ordained of God. Unless you go to Psalm 2, where it talks about the kings of this world conspire against the Lord and his anointed, then it's a different set of powers, isn't it? Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. Now hang on a minute. What if the power is resisting the ordinance of God? Do I side with the power or do I side with God? And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. So in other words, if I resist an organization that is under the control of God and following biblical principles, I'm putting myself in trouble if I resist and fight against them. But I'm going to tell you what I've read so far. There's nothing that tells me to give money to ungodly government. For rulers are not a terror to good works. The church is doing good work. Past Assault Ministry is doing good work, so the government should not be a terror to me. They're supposed to be a terror to who? To evil. For the rulers are terror to evil. Will you then not be afraid of the power? So if they're going to do good things to you, are you afraid of them? Of course not. Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. So I think saving babies is good. Will I be punished? Yep, sure will. Sure will. I think not paying my money to the public schools is good. Will I be punished for that? I sure will. Who gets determines what's good and what's evil? That's pretty clear, isn't it? Huh? For he is the minister of God to good. He is the minister to thee for good. For good. The government's supposed to be good, not bad. Not bad. They're not supposed to be evil. They're not supposed to be taking my money and killing babies. They're not supposed to be taking my money and introducing homosexuality into our schools. They're not supposed to be doing it with that. They're not supposed to be taking my money and giving it to illegal aliens. They're not supposed to be taking money and padding their own pockets. That's evil. But if you do that which is evil, be afraid. Folks, are the people who are doing evil afraid? No. Why? For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he's a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that does evil. The Clintons do evil. Government is to exercise wrath upon them. Wherefore, you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but because you can want to keep your conscience sake. For this cause, pay you tribute, taxes also. For they are God's ministers. No, they're not. No, they're not. Attending continually upon this very thing. Therefore, render to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom to whom custom. Fear to whom fear. And honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Come on in here, Robert. Straighten us out here, brother.
Well, Coach, it's amazing that they're trying to get all the churches to have Christians support all authority. It doesn't matter if it's good or evil. You know, if it's authority, we have to support it. But the thing is, in 1 Corinthians 13, it says, let every person be in subjection to governing authorities. It's the governing authorities that we are being subjection to. And as the passage says, they are ministers of God, governing authorities. Those authorities that promote good and punish evil, we have no fear for that. We can submit to that because they are carrying out the will of God. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's governing authorities that resist evil and promote good. We should not have to fear those. We should support those. And that is the type of authority that is described as carrying out the will of God by the ministers of God. They are following the will of God. But this idea that all authorities to be submitted to, well, what about demonic authorities? We are exalted above and seated with Jesus at the right hand of God, far above all principalities, powers, and authorities. So there's all kinds of authorities out there.
So, Robert, the separation between the church and state, they tell us, right? Yet the state wants to force you to lay down your faith and blindly obey them. Isn't that what's going on?
That's exactly what's going on. In Acts 5:29 and 4:19, Paul, Peter, and those guys said, we must obey God, not man. So it's governing authorities we submit to, but we have to obey God in the Bible. And that's where so many are going wrong. They're just the blind leading the blind, following what man says, and that is follow all authority.
Nothing new, Coach. Just like Acts.
That's right, brother. It is. And this, we are Robert Klaus, Larry Richardson, Mark Trump, Terrence Peterson, everybody in this queue. You are in debt for what? How many trillions of dollars are we in debt for? Can somebody explain to me how I got in debt? Can somebody explain to me how I got in debt? There's the U.S. dot. There it is. 22,556,101,800 foot. Unbelievable, right? I don't want to get buried on this. Do me a favor, Larry. Did you want to say something? I'm not calling you. I've sensed you. No. Okay. Cool. Hey, do me a favor, Jared. Pull up John Moore's show. It's more, folks, it's more sinister than that. Brian Cunningham, one of our faithful listeners here. Brian's been sending me emails of John Moore's show. Jared pulled up to the 2 minute and 30 mark. He had on him Stephen Ben Nun. He's a, lack of a better term, an Israeli Hebrew scholar. And I want you to listen. If you guys have never listened to the John Moore show, this was some really, really good stuff. In fact, I've got one. Hey, Brian Cunningham, are you in here? I don't know. You're always in here, Brian. You sent me that 2 hour clip that I listened to yesterday that just absolutely I could not believe. You know what I'm talking about, Brian? The 2 hour.
Yes, sir.
The guy who's throwing all the guts on the planet. He worked for him. He was on the dark side. He found Christ. He said, here's what they're doing. He waited until they got – it's unbelievable. Brian, can you put that in the link? Can you put it in the show?
Yeah, the one I sent you yesterday?
Well, I don't know which one it was. I can't even remember the guy's name. You know what I'm talking about, Brian?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
I can't. I looked all morning. I can't find it in my – I can't find it.
I'll put it in the chat.
But, folks, listen. Go for a walk. Put your headphones on. Go for a two-hour walk. And listen to this John Moore show with, I wish I could remember the guy's name. And you're going to be weeping at it because this guy is a disabled veteran. He's disabled, 100% disabled. And he's coming clean. He said, they can kill me. I don't care. They can kill me. They can kill me now. Somebody's got to tell the truth about what's going on. He goes into the Clintons. It is unbelievable. Firsthand knowledge. He was offered $1 million to blow up the Alfred Murrah building in Oklahoma City. He was offered $1 million to do it. He tells it all. Don't take my word for it, okay? Don't take my word for it. So I don't know how I got to get that, Jared, because people are going to be emailing me saying, Brian, send me the email again, because they're going to be saying, Coach, where was that video? You got to hear it, okay? You got to hear it. But I want you to hear this. This started at the 2 minute and 30 second. This is John Moore, and I can look up here. Thanks, Victor. Stephen Ben Nun. I want you to listen to this about the church. Go ahead and play that, Jared.
J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks on Tuesday, the 27th day of August, year of our Lord, 2019. Welcome to the John Moore Show. We begin our shows with the Pledge of Allegiance, which apparently is controversial in some parts of the country, especially California. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Our special guest this morning is Mr. Stephen Ben-Noon. He is the proprietor of IsraeliNewsLive.org. Did I get that right, Steve? Or IsraeliNewsLive.org?
That's right, John.
Okay, good. And we're going to talk about the events of the day, international events, national events, as they apply to all of us. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, John. A lot is going on.
It is. It is. Well, I've been telling people we got 14 months before all hell breaks loose. Next week, I'll be telling people 13 months. And, of course, I got confirmation of that when I was in Washington, D.C. a couple of weeks ago. People at rather high levels of connection to the government. That's as much as I'm going to say to protect people's identity. Not that I need confirmation, but it's always very gratifying to get confirmation, isn't it, Steve?
It is always good to know when you have confirmation, because that kind of gives you a heads up. And I've got a little surprise for you on some of that information today as well.
Well, now you got our interest up. Tell us what you got.
So, yeah, John. Listen, yesterday there was a private conversation, and it's actually my wife had this conversation, and there are ministers, and I guess some people would think of the clergy response team when I discuss this. And for those that may not know what that is, that's where the pastors have been, many of them, the 501c corporations have been working with the U.S. government over the years in the event of some type of a national emergency. What would they do? How would they respond to get the, you know, to get their flocks to go along with whatever the government was going to do? And of course, they really like to cite Romans chapter 13 in order to get the full compliance of their flocks. I think Chuck Baldwin, he's a good friend of mine. I've known Chuck for many years, but we've gotten a little bit closer here more recently. And he's brought out a lot of information on that if you want to look that up. But what we had found out, though, John, goes beyond that of the 501c3 clergy response team. We have found out that there are very, very high up pastors that are selling out their flocks. They know that something major is coming. They have been issued a particular card to where when everything gets really bad, they will be able to go past all the checkpoints and they are to meet at a certain location where their families will be taken to safety. They have been using the platforms for propaganda to push the agenda of what these individuals want brought out, and like I said, they're given the passage as a result of changing their stance. And I know the NSA is behind this. They're just one of the agencies is behind this. And I think, John, without going into too much detail on this, all people have to do is look at some of your really mainstream media giants, and as far as in ministry, and if you have seen any change in the message they may have brought in the past compared to what they're bringing out now, then you're getting a closer sign as to what's going on.
Jared, you can stop.
And it's really sad.
Listen, folks, we'll make this available. This is well worth listening to as well. And gets into some really, 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 well, listen, I don't know what to tell you. But some of you have a mindset that is not going to change. It's not going to change. And I don't know why. I don't know how we help you. I just don't know. I don't know how we help you to break the fog in your brain of what you've been told. I don't know. I wrote about my commentary yesterday that I was going to read it, but I'm about out of time here today. I'm not going to read it. I sent it to all of you. You'll all be able to read it. But folks, these aren't conspiracy theories. These are evidence of the conspiracy. This is evidence. It's not a theory. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's evidence that these things are actually taking place. I was talking to a guy yesterday about, and it was 911, right? And I said to him, hey, man, what do you think about 911? And he says, well, all I know is I saw those planes fly into those towers. I saw those fly into those towers. I saw it with my own eyes on television. I said, yeah, I did too. What made those buildings fall? And he stopped. He said, I don't know anything about all that, but I saw it with my own eyes. That's what do you do? Here we are 18 years later with this whole thing. We're 55 years later with JFK, and they still won't tell us the truth, right? Still won't tell us the truth. And I'm going to tell you, they won't tell us the truth about Benghazi. They won't tell us the truth about any of these things. The secrecy. Why all the secrecy? Why can't we know about JFK? Why can I tell you why we can't know? In my humble opinion, because it's going to lead to Daddy Bush. It's going to lead to Daddy Bush. How could that be? How could John F. Kennedy's murder 55 years ago be national security? And if it's national security, don't the people have the right to know? Don't we have the right to know that Daddy Bush was behind some of this stuff? Don't we have the right to know? Isn't it amazing? They blamed it all on Lee Harvey Oswald, who's dead. And they blamed 911 on Bin Laden. Where's he? Anybody know where he is? Where's he buried? Anybody seen him or talked to him? Oh, come on. Come on in. Listen, you call me conspiracy theorist all you want. My eyes are wide open. I understand what's going on spiritually to a degree, and it is the seed of the serpent against the seed of the woman. And if you think we have a righteous government, we have a Democratic Party who laughed and booed at the mention of the name of Jesus and threw him out of their platform. And we got millions, millions, millions of Christians voting for them. Not that the Republican Party's any better. Two-card money, I get it. We can't get anything done, Christians, because they've got us divided by political parties. Republican good, Democrat bad. Somebody come on in. Come on, somebody's got something to say.
Well, Dave, I think that these pastors that are going to have this free pass, it's only going to be temporary. Because I can assure you that anyone in leadership that betrays its own people will then next be executed because they cannot be trusted by the next level.
Chad, that's why you have to listen to the video. I'm sorry, the audio that Brian sent me regarding, you got to listen to it. Because that's what
I'm listening to you already. Yeah.
When he refused, I can't remember his name, I'm sorry. When he refused $1 million to blow up the Murrah building, they tried to kill him. Because he knew too much information. He knew. They offered him the job. And he didn't take it. And they tried to kill him. Said, you know too much, man. It's fascinating to listen to.
Chad, excellent logic on that bit about the pastors. They better watch out. What better way to have all of your enemies that know too much about you already in one place than to give them their passage to that place so that they don't have to have a hard time finding them and doing away with them. They've already got them collected because they voluntarily walked into that mess.
Amen. 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 Hey, listen, I got to do two things here. And then Jared, pull up a 98.9 The Answer. I got two things I got to do. I need your help out there. And then I'm going to hand it over to you after this. On your screen right now, I hope you guys take this in the right spirit. We fight a battle of containment. Okay? We all fight a battle of containment. getting the message out, getting the word out. Well, I listen along often to here locally, a Salem station called 98.9 The Answer. Salem has a series of this type of stations around America. And their talkers are Dennis Prager, Mike Gallagher, Larry Elder, Dennis Prager. Did I say him maybe twice? That's who are on their shows, all right? So you turn on one of their shows and you're listening, and they're looking for a culture warrior of the year. That's what they're looking for. They want people to nominate culture warriors of the year. Now, I don't know what a culture warrior is, but I think we're culture warriors. I think we are. And I think this is a great opportunity for us to break through. What would happen if all of our audience out there went to this website and nominated Coach Dave as Cultural Warrior of the Year? What if we got so many people to nominate me that they would have to acknowledge, not me, us, and what it is that we're doing? Now, if, as you sit there right now, who are they going to nominate as their culture warrior? Let's see. Mike Gallagher, he might get some nominations, and who else will? Sean Hannity, he'll get some nominations, and Rush Limbaugh, he'll get some nominations, and ain't none of them doing anything. See, talk is not fighting. Talk is not fighting. I am publicly kicking off this right now. Go in there and nominate me. It's a very simple process. You have to go in. You give them your email. They ask you maybe your phone number, maybe, and why. And you just put in there whatever would just put it in there and nominate it. Let's force their hand. Let's force their hand to acknowledge what it is some of us are doing. Let's encourage people to get engaged in the culture war. Now, if we get 4 million votes, are they going to include us? They're looking for a top six. I think we force their hand. Folks, please know this. It isn't about me. It isn't about me. It's about us. It's about opening up doors. It's about giving us a greater platform to be able to do what we do. Jared, right now, as you're watching it, is doing this. John Smith at johnsmith.com. You got to put in your first name. John, put your first name in. Then you put a password in. You make a password up. You make up whatever you want to. They don't care. They want to send you. They want you on their email list. That's what they want. So Jared does that and says, okay, now I'll submit that. And they say, okay, what next? What next here, Jared? Submit that. Very simple. It's taking a while. You know, these things never work. And once Jared submits it, they're going to say, okay, maybe they didn't like his email. Maybe they didn't do that. So he tried that one. Anyway, they're going to say, who do you want to nominate? And why? Boom, boom, boom. It's done. It takes, they don't care. So I don't ask you to do this very often. I'm asking you to do this. I'm asking you to go. It's not just 98.9, which is in Columbus. That's where we are. It's at all these Salem stations. They're running this right now. Cultural Warrior of the Year. Cultural Warrior of the Year. I'm asking you to help us here. Help us. Go there and do that. Does that sound like too much self-promotion? It's promoting the Salt and Light Brigade and what we're doing and how we move forward. That's what it's about. Jared, maybe you can put that link in the chat as well. And we're gonna start working hard to get this thing going. Okay, listen. I have to step out. And before I step out, I'm going to turn it over to Larry Richardson. I'm going to get Larry's video playing, Jared. Folks, please do not leave. Please do not leave. We'll play. They're trying to take Larry. They were trying to steal Larry Richardson's home. So he's going to let this 11-minute video play. Then he's going to talk to you and take some questions. And then he'll close the show out. Folks, I'm going to say this. I am 193% behind what Larry Richardson's doing. I'm with him all the way on this. And the fact that I have to step out is because I have to catch a ride. But Jared, go ahead and play that video. God bless you, Larry. I'm with you all the way. Hey, folks, thanks. Pray for us. Safe trip out there. Safe return. And may God be glorified in what we do out there in Portland, Maine this weekend. Thanks. Go ahead and play that, Jared.
Hello. My name is Larry Richardson. This is my wife, Gail. We are both in our 70s, and I find ourselves on the threshold of a very serious situation. We may become one of the myriad of people who find ourselves homeless and on the streets soon. Let me explain. Forgive me if it looks like I am reading this, because I am. I wrote it out so I could make sure everything is accurate and that I would not leave out any pertinent facts. Back in 2009, we were finally in a position where we could look for a home to buy and have for our golden years. I only had a couple of years left until I could stop working, and Gail had already stopped working in the job world. We located a house we liked that fit within our budget and moved in September of 2009. We were able to pay for the house in full. We only had about $8 left in the bank account after paying for the house, but it was paid for. And not having a monthly mortgage or rent payment for a roof over our head was one of our goals. We specifically picked a house that was not part of an HOA or POA because we are independent type people and did not want to subjugate ourselves to an impersonal groupthink situation. Things were fine for a year or two. Then all of a sudden we started getting letters from a real estate management company that claimed we owed HOA fees from the day we moved in. I responded to them in a letter telling them that there was no mention of an HOA in any of the paperwork associated with our purchase of the house, and that if they, the real estate management group, TRADD, I think it was at that time, could produce anything in writing with my signature on it that committed me to be a part of their HOA, that I would be glad to look it over at that time. I also started reading South Carolina laws on real estate sales and HOAs, etc., and having been told by TRADD on more than one occasion that the HOA they were managing was a legally constituted nonprofit corporation, I also read the South Carolina laws on corporations. Here is part of what I found. Title 33, Corporations, Partnerships, and Associations. Chapter 31, South Carolina Nonprofit Corporation Act. Article 6, Members and Memberships. Subarticle A, Admission of Members. Section 33-31-601, Admission. A, the articles or bylaws may establish criteria or procedures for the admission of members. B. No person may be admitted as a member without his consent. Period. History. 1994, Act Number 384, Section 1. This is short and also quite clear. I, being a card-carrying member of the National Association of Parliamentarians at the time, had a strong regard for all things legal. That includes founding documents for organizations, etc., laws passed by local and state legislative bodies, and for the duly ratified Constitution of the State of South Carolina, and of course, the United States Constitution, too. I was just naive enough to think that this law I found might be paid attention to, and that was the reason no one ever got back to me about my request for them to prove I wanted to be a part of their HOA. Until, a year or so later, another real estate management company, Gold something or other this time, sent me a bill and claimed that I owed back HOA fees from the day I moved in. I sent them a copy of the letter I'd previously sent to TRADD. And once again, I did not hear from them. Until they started sending me threatening letters that they would foreclose on my mortgage, etc. Well, I had no mortgage for them to foreclose on, so I paid the letters no attention. Water went under the bridge, with I think at least one more real estate management company trying to do the same as the first two, and I responded in the same as I had before. Then, in November of 2017, the level of harassment and threats increased from yet another management outfit, First Service Residential this time. And I once again submitted a copy of the original letter I'd provided TRADD. This time, however, despite the fact that they never acknowledged receipt of my letter and they totally ignored my request, they also continued to send what I considered to be threatening letters. In May of 2019, I received a document served by a process server that demanded I respond to their demands of payment and threatened to take matters to the next level if I did not respond to the clerk of court and to the lawyer they had put on the case. I, of course, responded and provided the same response as before. I have stamped copies of that response both from the clerk of court and the lawyer's office. Both are dated the 19th of June, 2019. Then, in July, shortly after the 22nd, I received a letter informing me that the case would be going in front of a special referee, the session to take place on the 21st of August, 2019. I showed up at the special referee session, along with my wife and Carlos Papo, one of my neighbors who agreed to come along as a potential witness as to what might transpire at the session. Approximately 20 minutes before the scheduled meeting time, a lady went into the meeting room with a special referee and did not come out until she approached us and said we could go in now. It turns out this lady was the lawyer for the HOA. Since when does one lawyer on one side of a case get to spend 20 minutes with the person who is supposed to hear the case without a representative for the other side being present? Can you say ex parte contact? Here is an extract from the Legal Information Institute of the Cornell Law School. Legal ethics. In legal ethics, ex parte refers to improper contact with a party or a judge. Ethical rules typically forbid a lawyer from contacting the judge or the opposing party without the other party's lawyer also being present. A breach of these rules is referred to as improper ex parte contact. Civil procedure. In civil procedure, ex parte is used to refer to motions for orders that can be granted without waiting for a response from the other side. Generally, these are orders that are only in place until further hearings can be held, such as a temporary restraining order. Typically, a court will be hesitant to make an ex parte motion. This is because the Fifth Amendment and the 14th Amendment guarantee a right to due process, and ex parte motions, due to their exclusion of one party, risk violating the excluded party's right to due process. Well, the session lasted about 2 minutes and 43 seconds. It was apparent from the get-go that the fix was in, and that neither the special referee nor the HOA's lawyer were interested in hearing anything I had to say. And about 2 minutes and 40 seconds into the session, the special referee, who was sitting on my left, leaned toward me over the corner of the table and stared at me. I mean stared. I leaned slightly forward and stared right back at him. In a split second, he jumped up and proclaimed loudly, "Call the police!" Then he opened the door of the room and yelled out in the hall to a receptionist to call the police. Then he proclaimed the meeting was over. Carlos, my wife, and I gathered ourselves and slowly exited the room and slowly walked out of the building to our car. I heard the special referee say, as we were walking out, "Your house will be sold on the 7th of October." So much for a fair hearing. Things progressed, and sure enough, the special referee made a ruling that I owed the money the HOA was asking for and all the legal fees for the HOA's lawyer, and filed the foreclosure action with the county sheriff's office. I received the written notice of this action on the 31st of August, 2019. I immediately began researching South Carolina law concerning foreclosure sales, etc., and have since found out the following interesting things. HOA management persons have virtually unbridled authority to go after people, and that the sheriff's department gets to keep 95% of the proceeds received from an asset foreclosure sale for their department. Can you say they have a vested interest in running roughshod over people to fatten their department budgets? I have gone through all of this to say that I have since acted on the advice of a close personal friend, who is a lawyer, and paid the $5,593 required to stop the sale of my home. I paid it under duress. I plan to make a pro se appeal of the judgment against me with the South Carolina Appeals Court. Then I will pursue a civil suit against the principals of the HOA, the lawyer for the HOA, and the special referee who ignored every individual right I should have had in making a judgment without even hearing my side of the case. I had to use the cash advance on two of my credit cards to raise the money. My wife and I have only our Social Security checks for income, and those are nowhere near large. The truth is that with the high interest rate charged for credit card cash advances, we will never get it all paid off before our deaths. I'm asking those of you, especially in South Carolina, who may be willing to help out, even with just $5 or more, to please consider doing so. I assure you that every penny will go to paying off the principal of the credit card debt, and should any excess happen to come in, I will give the excess to the ministry that hosts the daily Bible study each weekday morning that both my lawyer friend and I have been participating in for over 3.5 years, Pass the Salt Ministries. Here is my address to send any help to. Larry Richardson, 303 Tapscott Street, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, 29579. If you have any questions, call me at 843-957-8180. Thanks for taking the time to watch this video.
Okay, well, thank you for hanging in there and watching. I want to say one thing before I open it up for questions. Well, actually two. First of all, I only listed one of my bullets in my gun in fighting this case in this video, and that was the law that says I can't be made a member without my permission. There are other things in South Carolina law and the South Carolina Constitution that solidly put me on solid written legal ground. But as I told my wife yesterday on the way to my grandson's football game, the law may be on our side, but the lawyers and judges aren't. And the second thing I want to say is this goes against my nature to reach out and ask for money for anything. I don't even ask for donations for STAB as asking for donations goes. And it's against my nature. But in this instance, what I said about Gail and I will be subjected to a life of poverty if we don't find a way out of this debt from these high interest credit card rates, because we did have a little debt. Other than that, not much, but a little, enough to eat up most of our Social Security checks. So we don't have enough money left over to pay interest and principal on these credit card loans I had to take out. And that's just
a
reality.
Hey, Larry, who's your lawyer?
Hang on just a second before you ask a question, okay? Real quick, I want you guys, as my brothers and sisters in Christ, to help me. Let's get this video out to as many people as we can, because it's a question of numbers. The more people that see it, the more help I will eventually get, and hopefully I can get out from under this. Question, who is my lawyer? He's in the queue here. I think everybody knows who it is. I haven't asked his permission to reveal his name yet, but if he wants to step up and say something, go right ahead.
Well, the only reason I was asking is because I own a management company. I do HOA stuff. So I just want to make sure that you had a lawyer that's familiar with HOA law.
Okay, in South Carolina?
No, I'm in Oregon.
Okay, totally different ballgame. Totally.
Oh, I know that. That's just what I'm asking.
Yeah, okay. Well,
I know who your lawyer is, Ed, if he's in this room.
Yeah, he's in this room, but I haven't asked him permission to reveal his name yet.
That's fine. Good guy. Yeah.
Okay, any other questions or any comments from anyone?
Yeah, Larry, listen, I know you got the video there. I'm not a guru guy. I think you have my number or get it. Text me. I'm going to send you a check.
Dale, appreciate it. Love you, brother. All right. Questions that I would be asking if I saw this video are, what kind of a person is this Larry? That's something you can help me out with when you forward the video to people. You can give them just a real quick synopsis of what you have gleaned about me, my character, and what kind of a person I am over the last 3.5 years. I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. I simply want you to add a personal touch to sending this video out to the people you send it to. come on in, somebody else. We got about 5 minutes before our coach wants me to close it out. If not, you're going to have to listen to me. Oh, I will reveal one of my other bullets, okay? And this is not one out of South Carolina law or either the South Carolina Constitution or the U.S. Constitution. This is a bullet out of the Bible. During that short 2-minute and 43-second meeting, by the way, I know it was exactly that long because I recorded the meeting in one of those little digital recorders, and I had it in my pocket, so I was able to segregate the 2 minutes and 43 seconds. During that short 2-minute and 43 seconds, one thing that did come out, and I did get a little bit of a conversation with the other two folks, was this. The lady admitted that she filed for this meeting and everything because I didn't, and that's what it said in the letter that she sent me about the meeting, I didn't respond to their request back in May to their demand. And she admitted, oh, he did respond. We just made a mistake. But his wife didn't, so we're still going after him. And I looked at the referee and I said, you know, in South Carolina, as far as I know, a man and his wife are considered as one when it comes to debts and stuff like that. I says, and my wife and I are one when I responded to this request. My wife responded, well, that's not true. And I says, well, it's true in my household. And he didn't even let me go on. I was about ready to tell him about Matthew chapter 19, verse 5. You want to put that up, Jared? Matthew 19, 5. So this is one of my bullets when I get in front of an appellate judge or an appellate court. Matthew 9, 5. And Jesus is talking, and he said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. My wife and I are one. We've been married for 51 years this past week. 7th of September was our 51st anniversary. And that Yehu, who, by the way, is technically called a referee, but when I walked in the door, and you can hear it on the tape, he proclaimed himself the judge in the case. Now, this sealed his fate as far as ex parte contact, improper ex parte contact meeting goes, because the ex parte contact specifically mentions judges. Any questions? Come on, guys.
All right, Larry, I got a question.
Go ahead, Chad.
Okay, the question is, on your paperwork, when you buy the house, you have those 43-something documents in there.
There weren't 43 documents. I had about 7 documents because I paid cash, and one of them was a disclosure statement, and there was nothing about the HOA, POA, or any covenant restrictions in the disclosure statement.
Okay, amen.
Hey, Roger. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I do remember when you bought the house way back then. And I know that you were looking for a home that had no strings attached to it.
Well, Chad brought up the right question. And we've got to look at the deed itself. Sometimes HOA language can be in the actual deed. And that is where, when you take title to the property, you have consented to whatever they're doing. So Larry has sent me all the documents. Our main goal was, without revealing attorney-client, and Larry hasn't given me the chance to do that, was to save the house first, regroup, and then see what we can do. There are some documents that we've got to look at. I think Larry has done a great job of laying out what happened. And once we're past the sale, once we get the documents that the sale is no longer, I'm going to reach out to his lawyer, the lawyer for the HOA, and just say, hey, please send us the documentation that was the foundation for what you did. That's the thing we have to establish. What was the document that they thought they had the right to do this? And then go from there. But these problems with HOAs, the problem with them is it's like condo fees. You know, a body of people like-minded in your development, or the owners of the development, because there's not been enough houses sold,
they can keep raising those things and you have no say. And most HOAs, unfortunately, you know, they'll have a governing board of homeowners 1 year, then four quit or two move, and the grass never gets cut at the entrance. So it's a very loose thing that is set up with each HOAs.
Hey, yeah, Roger, I'm glad you talked about that, because one, I have read the HOA documents they filed with the state proclaiming themselves as an illegal entity. And in that, even their residence board and stuff like that is an advisory board. It's not, it doesn't have the authority to run the HOA. And, but there, one of the main movers and shakers that had the plot of land that subdivided it and started selling land and homes on it back about 20 years ago was and still is the mainmost man in the Republican Party in Horry County. His name is Robert Raybon. I have no problems revealing his name. And in the original documents that they established the so-called HOA in, which wasn't in my, like I say, wasn't in my disclosure statements, and the realty agent actually told us there was no HOA. Anyway, they have in there that he retained ownership of a couple of lots. He didn't sell them all. Now, he gets 50 votes for each of the lots he has. Everybody else gets one vote. Can you say violation of equal protection under the law? Okay. Thanks for hanging around, guys. I'm going to stay here and hang out, and we'll answer questions if you have any.